joined right now by Leah Tarachansky, who's a journalist with the Real News Network. She's currently based in Israel-Palestine. She's reported for many grassroots independent media outlets over the years, such as The Dominion, Znet, and Rabble.ca. She currently helped launch The Daily Nuisance, which is an online news portal for independent media from Israel-Palestine. We're speaking to her from Yaffa. Welcome to CKUT, Leah.
Thanks so much for having me.
Great. So to get started, why don't you tell us what The Daily Nuisance is?
Well, it was established to be a local collective of sort of cross-world journalists, photojournalists, videographers. So the idea is to have an independent space where we have photo, video, and print content that's on the ground and that sort of brings to attention to the things that not only the mainstream media lacks, but also a lot of the alternative media lacks because of the financial problems with the alternative media. Often they can't have local people here. So the idea is to bring Israelis, Palestinians, all kinds of peoples that live here, and also international journalists that are long-term based here.
I mean, of course, with the conflict in Israel-Palestine, it's a highly mediated conflict. I mean, of course, there's a lot of mainstream media who are on the ground in Israel-Palestine. But I'm wondering what kind of angle or what are you hoping to bring to the table with a project such as The Daily Nuisance?
That's a great point. The thing is that the target audience of The Daily Nuisance, because it's English language, is the North America mainly. And although there are a lot of international mainstream corporate media that's here, they often don't cover things that are important, that are happening here. Like, for example, the entire resistance movement within Israel is almost completely glossed over in the mainstream media. They don't typically tend to cover what's going on the ground in Palestine, such as the recent escalation in violence, continuous night raids, continuous arrests, and the Israeli media also glosses over it. So, meanwhile, the conflict manifests itself in daily realities. Often those things are not covered at all until something very, very big happens. And the international press has a tendency to just follow what the leaders are doing. So they're often ignoring what's happening on the ground unless they're doing a sort of, you know, personal story where they find a Palestinian and they sort of get to, divulge how difficult their life is.
Mm-hmm. So can you tell us who's involved in The Daily Nuisance and what are some of the stories right now that you're hoping to cover?
Sure. Well, our collective is just very, very, it's a baby at this point. But we have a wonderful collection of photographers. We have Ahmed Mesla from the village of Ne'elim, which, as you know, is currently going through a popular struggle against the wall. We have an Israeli-Palestinian photographer named Elias Wakim. He covers a lot of the Israeli and the Palestinian-Israeli resistance. And then we have a couple of international journalists, but they're locally based. Carmel Wolfson is another photographer. She's also one of our bloggers. She writes a column called From the Watchtower. And we have Jesse Rosenfeld, who is one of the originals, along with David Jacobus and Max Blumenthal, who came up with the idea. And Jesse currently writes a column called Straddling the Wall, and I write a column called Unsettling Ideas.
Of course, on the website, which is thedailynuisance.com, you guys are going to be putting out reports in video, photo, and in blog format, as we've talked about a little bit. Why did you decide to make this a multimedia site, and what do you see as the importance of putting out a variety of different forms of media on reports on Israel-Palestine?
Well, one thing for just diversity to make our lives sort of more interesting, but it also it makes the kind of people that we can bring to the table more diverse, because a lot of people have different skills. And having just a strictly print site, it's been done. So we're trying to do something a little bit different, bringing people that have a variety of skills, that are sort of diverse in their skills and also diverse in their backgrounds. Mm-hmm. But also, different media are important for different things. There are things that you can't transmit in print or you can't transmit in photos. so you have to do it in video and film.
I wanted to talk, I guess, a little bit about independent media and the transmission of independent media, because some might argue that while independent media is important, the stories that independent journalists are covering will tend to fall under the radar. Yet, on the other hand, you know, what we saw last year during the war in Gaza was many people using social networking websites such as Facebook and Twitter to circulate images and circulate stories from that war. And this kind of continues to be a phenomenon in terms of spreading news and information about Israel-Palestine. So, you know, what do you see as some of the potentials and maybe also some of the setbacks, if there are any, for news reporting using social media networking sites?
Well, I mean, I guess that's one of the ideas. We don't have an open source publishing system such as, you know, indie media, but we are very open. The collective is more a permanent thing. We have a lot of people that are sort of satellites of the Daily News and that contribute when they can. The wonderful thing about social media is it's almost immediate, and it allows for people from all around the world to connect what some people call the Green Revolution in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why the potential for us is why we decided to link ourselves to Facebook, and you can see that on the website. And we hope to develop more new media sort of possibilities through the website. It just launched yesterday, so it's still very, very new. And we're hoping that it'll grow, and of course, if you have any ideas, we can definitely use them. The problem here often with social media is that you never know what's actually going on with social media. There's a lot of rumors flying around, and there's a lot of confusing information. So our job is often to go through the massive amount of information out there and pick out what's important and what's actually going on.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, of course, also last year during the war in Gaza, the IDF, the Israeli army, set up a YouTube page, so they're also starting to use the social networking websites more and more. Would you say that the government of Israel kind of sees, you know, the work that you're doing with the Daily Nuisance and this flourishing of independent media in Israel-Palestine as a threat?
I very much doubt that they see it as a threat, but there's a sort of, because Israel is such a highly militarized society on both visible and invisible levels, everything from, you know, something like everyone has to go to the army, everyone's been through the army. You walk down the street and it's normal to see, you know, 18-year-olds with machine guns just buying coffee. There is also the main radio station in the country is Kavalat, which is the army radio, and that's considered the most reliable sort of source of news. There's other invisible ways in which, for example, if you don't go to the army, if you refuse to go to the army because you're a conscientious objector, or because you can't afford to go to the army because you come from a poor family or any other reason, your life is hugely impaired because you can't get a proper job, you can't necessarily have the same education, and so on. Mm-hmm. And so that becomes a huge part of the way that Israelis see themselves. And I don't think that what we're doing is a threat to the Israeli establishment, but we definitely see it as a necessary sort of alternative.
I wanted to just come back a little bit to what you were talking about before. Of course, you mentioned you were working with Palestinian photographers, Palestinian journalists in the occupied territories and also in Israel proper. I was wondering if you just maybe elaborate on what are some of, you know, the possibilities for collaboration with Palestinian or Israeli grassroots media that's already in existence on the ground there.
Sure. There's an incredible website called IMEMS, the International Middle East Media Center, which is based in Bethlehem, and it does it very, very good reports on the ground. And the editor of that is someone that we like to work with. There's an incredible center called the Alternative Information Center, and we haven't worked together yet on specifically the Daily Nuisance, but we have another media, and they do fantastic research. And there's, of course, you know, a plethora of thousands and thousands of NGOs are doing incredible research as well. That becomes a very important part of our work.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, the collaboration, both with locally based and international independent media such as Mondo YF and, of course, you know, the Real News where I work, I think it's absolutely essential because, publicizing on the level of mainstream media is a very difficult thing. So the more we can collaborate, the more diverse our coverage and also the broader audience we can get.
And I guess lastly, of course, you've been in the Middle East for a little while now, following important stories with the Real News Network. Can you just tell us about some of the important stories that you've been covering recently?
Oh, okay. Well, my experience with the Middle East is a bit of a journey, as I grew up here, but the Real News has placed me here since October, and I've continued working here on a series that I'm working for, that I started working for about a year ago, called Who Benefits from the Occupation? And the series basically looks at all kinds of methods that both the corporate class in Israel and the international community and the military-industrial complex, to use a Western term, benefits from the ongoing occupation of the Palestinian territories. So some of the ways that we looked at that is, for example, the water usage and water restriction, land confiscation. I looked at a company in one of my stories that takes mud from Palestinian areas and markets it as made in Israel for beauty products. And one of the stories I did was called Remote Control Occupation, which looks at how Israel is increasing its automation of how the occupation functions. So because what you're seeing now that the Second Intifada is over is that the average Israeli youth who goes into the army doesn't want to work in the territories. They don't want to spend their 2 or 3 years of military service, you know, manning a checkpoint. And a lot of that stems from boredom, but a lot of that stems from racism. Most Israelis don't want to have the daily interactions with Palestinians, either because they're afraid of them or because they think that they're just racist against them. And so what the Israeli government is doing is making the occupation as remote control as possible. And they do that through technology, and they also do that through remote controlled systems of control. So and alongside with that, of course, comes the privatization of the occupation, which I think is the story right now, Israel's neoliberal project and how that project is impacting the privatization of how the occupation is going to look like in the future. So outsourcing checkpoint security, outsourcing technology, military technology, and so on. So that's some of the stories that I'm working on for the Real News.
And if people want to follow the work that you're doing in Israel-Palestine, where can they find some of these stories?
Sure. The vast majority of the work that I do is for the Real News, and that's at therealnews.com. I'm also working on a documentary project here looking at the 1948 war that started the ethnic cleansing of Palestine. And I'm looking at it from an Israeli perspective. Being an Israeli, I'm also interviewing Israeli veterans of that war and who are now fighting to bring to light what they've done in that war and how that impacted the ethnic cleansing in 48 and ongoing to today. And that can be found at 7deadlymyths.web.com. So 7deadlymyths.web.com, because the documentary is called 7deadlymyths. And of course, this new website that we just launched, this new service, I'm writing a blog for that called Unsettling Ideas, because I grew up on a settlement. And that's at thedailynews.com.
We've been speaking with Leah Tarachansky, who is a reporter with the Real News Network and the newly launched website, www.thedailynuisance.com. We've been speaking to her from Yaffa in Israel-Palestine. Leah, thanks so much for taking the time to speak with us this evening.
Thank you so much, Aaron.